Thank you. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for each one of these folks, Lord, and the call on their life. Lord, your word says that you called us and that we would have a walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. In lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. For there's one body and one Spirit, just as you have called us in one hope of our calling. Father, I pray that that calling would be revealed to every one of these folks, Lord. To everyone in this place and everyone in this room, that our calling would unfold as we gather and as we hear your word and as we're in your presence. You are going to show us all the path of life. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that and we give you praise. And Father, I just pray for your protection over all these folks. I pray your angels would be over them, and we just pray your anointing to continue here on John today, Lord God, as he ministers your word to us. We thank you for that, and I thank you for everyone that made it here safely today, and we just thank you and give you praise for your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Now welcome all these folks, amen.
Can you hear me now? Am I on? Yes, praise the Lord. When Fred first asked me to preach, he asked me early last week, I guess. I was like, sure, I see how you do, Fred. Wait for the hour change, you know, daylight savings time, lose an hour of sleep. You know, we heard the snow was coming. I was like, I see how you do me. Still got nothing but love for him. But how many of y'all noticed, you know, several people walking in just a couple minutes ago? Just a minute. I'm not going to point you out, but we up here in the membership, you know, we are all looking out, and a lot of people didn't catch that daylight savings time. Praise the Lord. If you guys want to open up to Philippians chapter 2, that's where we're going to be at today. We're going to start in verse 6 in Philippians 2. One thing Fred likes to do is just, yeah, you guys already got it, stand for the reading of the word. Just believe that this word is the authority of God, and we just want to honor that. It's nothing being religious. We're just standing in honor, ready to receive. So Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 6. Just talking about Christ, the attitude and mind of Christ. Verse 6, it says, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You guys can have a seat. I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, I'm just calling you right now, God. And Father, I just thank you that you are here in this place. And Father, I ask that you just prepare our hearts to hear from you. Apart from you, Holy Spirit, we have nothing. God, I do not come with any words, Lord, any insight, Father, that can potentially change our hearts, God. It is only you, Holy Spirit. So just ask that you would come and that you would move on our hearts, that you would reveal God, your Son, Jesus, to our hearts, that we would know you, that we would know you more. Father, ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys, I want to share something just kind of about the Word of God. This is something by Greg Steer, and he calls it The Message, and it's just, I'm going to read it real quick. It says, just referring to God's Word, it says, I love the message, God's love letter to his bride. It is full of hope and forgiveness and strength for the journey. Although I love it, I sometimes cringe when I read its words. His words deliver a shot to my liver with steely edge of its double-edged sword. It cuts me to the bone, to the heart, to the quick of my slow soul. But he wounds me out of love. On second thought, it is no wound that he delivers. It is surgery to remove the pride, the selfishness, the lust that sinners close to the surface. But it is painful nonetheless. Okay, I guess there are times that I don't love the message, when conviction overrides my conscience and ruins my quest for pleasure. But afterwards, the same book that slices deeply and becomes a salve for my wounded soul, the medicine of his deep words seep deeply into my cut and bring healing. Then I remember once more why I love the message, his message, so much. How many of y'all can relate to that? I just want to say something that after today, some of you guys may not like me. I say that just because the idea that, man, sometimes the Word of God penetrates our hearts. Sometimes it convicts us of sin. It convicts us of some of the ways that we've just, you know, grown accustomed to, right? And so I'm just going to speak, and first we're just going to talk about Christ, and yeah, but if you guys don't like me, you got to love me anyway. I mean, it just, you know, isn't it a command, something like that? I think so. Cool. Jesus. Who is Jesus? Lord. Yep, that's good. You guys, I want to talk to you just about Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says that the mystery of godliness, I mean, without question, this is something that is worth looking into. The mystery of godliness is great. What he's saying is this idea that God, a holy God, a good God, a loving God, a sovereign God, a God that made the whole entire universe, right? This God became man. I could stop right there. Good night. You guys, we do not realize what it is that he's done. And one of my prayers today is that we would just realize that we would receive revelation in our hearts about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. When I was praying about what I should be sharing this morning, I felt the Lord tell me a few things. I felt one, he said, tell them that I love them. Tell them that I died for them. Tell them that I'm not looking for religion, but I'm looking for relationship. And tell them that I don't want their church masks. I don't want their church faces. I want them to be real. I could sit down right now. you guys, I just want to walk through this, all right? First, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, all right? We're talking about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. You got Psalm 8. If you're writing notes, write it down. I absolutely love it. It talks about a God who created the heavens, right? He created the stars. He created the sky. And it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. I mean, we have this God who created all things. In Genesis, he speaks these things into existence, right? He speaks into existence day and night, light. He speaks these things into existence. But then when it comes to us, he made everything and said it was good. But when it comes to us, he got down into the dirt, right? He got down into the earth and he formed us with his hands. It was more than something that he just spoke. What is man that you are mindful of him? Man, the way that he created us is such a way that, I mean, he absolutely is ravished over our hearts. He delights in us. And something that we need to grasp. But I just want to talk to you about this God becoming man. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You guys, check out Revelation chapter 4 and 5. I encourage you, when you leave here, you want something to chew on, you want something to meditate on throughout the week, Revelation 4 and 5. Man, I was reading that a couple times this past week, just meditating on it, just looking at it. And I just kept on seeing, I mean, the elders just bowing down before the throne of God, the angels just seeking him and just beholding him. And I said, Lord, what do the angels see? What do they see? What do they see that I don't see? Because they are constantly worshiping you. They say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You guys, what do the angels see? Right now, what do they see that is causing them to react in such a form of worship? It's the same thing that Isaiah saw, right? Isaiah chapter 6. He catches just a glimpse of who God is. And immediately he sees himself and sees the sin that is all up in him. And he says, have mercy on me. He asks for forgiveness. And then he says, Lord, the Lord said, whom shall I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You guys, as soon as we catch a revelation of who God is, that's going to do something in our hearts. It's going to change us. As we read Philippians 2, if you guys want to go up to verse 1, this is something that Fred actually read just last week. Verse 1, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Wow. I'm going to all kinds of scriptures. First, Peter chapter 2. I want to open up to that real quick. First Peter chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 21, I believe. It says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So we just read Philippians 2, right? God becoming man, humbling himself, becoming a servant to all, dying on a cross, becoming obedient even unto death. And then here he charges us and says, man, you ought to be in the same attitude. You ought to have the same mind like Christ. He says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. I want to touch briefly on something called entitlement. How many of y'all feel entitled to things? You don't have to raise hands. I thank every single one of you. In America, we have been trained to know that we are entitled for things, right? We are entitled to our freedom. I'm entitled to be free. I'm entitled to have my own privacy, right? I'm entitled to all this. Jesus Christ was the only one who was entitled to all things. And yet he gave up his entitlement. The very things that he was given a right to, he gave up for us. He suffered on a cross and died for us. And we who are entitled to nothing think we are entitled to everything. Hello. So when you're driving and someone cuts you off, what the? Man, that person, they don't know who they just cut off. You guys, what is that inside of us? What is that? It's real. That is some pride. We think we're somebody, right? Hello. Man, you guys, it's in us all. I was at Walmart up here in Sydney the other day, and I'm getting my oil change, right? And so they say 15 minutes. I say, sweet. I leave. Go get a bite to eat with a couple friends. Come back an hour later, said, you know, hey, this is my name, looking for my car. And they're like, we can't seem to find it. I'm like, are you kidding? And I was like, you know, what's going on? They said 15 minutes. And like, we actually have yet to start it. And I'm like, what? I mean, immediately, some of that, you know what I mean? You should have had it done 45 minutes ago. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking, you know what I mean? And, you know, I had to sign something. I don't even know. It's ridiculous. But anyways, that started rising up in me, some of that retaliation, some of that pride, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy. And I caught it, and I was just like, God, please forgive me. And then I tried to be more gentle towards this guy, you know, and just react more in love. But you guys, how many times do we do that? Seriously, because we think we're entitled to something. You guys, we are entitled to nothing. So this is the attitude that we are to take, right? We are to become like Christ, right? Well, let's read again in Philippians 2. He made himself nothing. Wow. Martin Luther said this. He said, since God created the world from nothing, we ought to become nothing so that God can use us. Did you hear that? You guys, if we become nothing, then God can really use us. A lot of the times it's all our pride that inhibits him from using us. Do you hear me? What is it that when we get bumped, what comes out? When you get bumped, when you get rubbed the wrong way, what comes out? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus talks about anger, right? And he says, if you are angry for your brother without a cause, man, you're in danger of judgment. What is without a cause? You know, we justify that as well, right? Well, I got a cause to be angry with this person. You guys, this is coming from the person who went to Calvary without a cause, right? I mean, he was beat beyond recognition without a cause. He says, man, if you are angry without a cause, you're in danger of judgment. You guys, we need to check some of the things that's going on inside of us, right? So he became nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death. You guys, the biggest witness of Christ, I think, the biggest witness of Christ is that when we're hit, we don't hit back. And I'm not just talking about physically hit. I'm talking about when we are treated wrong, that we don't treat wrong. You hear me? That when we get something that we feel like we don't deserve, we act towards love. We react with meekness and love and kindness. You guys, some of y'all know this is hard. Man, this is so hard. In our families, at our jobs, we don't get the promotion and our husband or wife, son or daughter, mom or dad, brother or sister, just, not me. They don't know who they're messing with. You guys, as we grow and we go even to two services next week, man, this is going to be taking some time. This is going to take some sacrifice, right? We all know this. We've been talking about it for the last couple weeks. It's time for us to grow up because, as Fred has been preaching in Ephesians 2, when we extend grace, when we give grace, we are bringing salvation to people, right? So Jesus is the epitome of that. I mean, he extended grace that when he was hit, he did not hit back. When he was suffered, when he was threatened, when he was beat, when he was mocked, he didn't say a word. And that is our example. Peter says we are to follow in his steps. Man, we are supposed to go to Calvary ourselves. We are to die to our own agenda. You guys, we have this culture in America that likes to tell us that, hey, if you want life, if you want to be fulfilled, then you're going to have to go buy it, right? Then you're going to have to kind of, hey, serve me. It's all about me. You guys, entertainment, some sports and movies, TV, that's some of the best substitutes for God's joy. It's from the devil. It's just disguised. I'm not saying that movies, TV, and sports are bad. Hear me, but I'm saying that when that is our entertainment, when that is what exhilarates us, when that is what we relax to, you know, we just always want to do, we are missing out. It's a substitute from Satan because there's so much more. What do the angels see that they are worshiping 24/7? What is it that Isaiah saw that he suddenly said, man, whatever you want, God, I'm willing to do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. What did he see? You guys, there is something to be seen. We need to realize who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. Because when we see him, when we receive revelation of who he is, it will change us. Like Isaiah, we will see our sin, we will see our mess, and we will say, God, have mercy on me. Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to love? Who do you want me to forgive? Have mercy on me. You guys, we need to get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Because when we do, this entertainment in the earth, man, it's going to be boring. Amen. I'm telling you. Me and my buddy were talking about it the other day. We were at the store, and we literally, my buddy heard God say, boring. Just some of the things that he was thinking that were entertaining. You know what I mean? Man, you got some of these things that we can't wait to partake in. God's saying, boring. Because he's got something so much more that will really exhilarate our hearts. What did Paul see? What did Paul see that he was willing to give up his life? What did he see? You guys, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, go with me, please. verse 11, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11, it says, to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. Man, verse 18. It says, some of you become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Did you get that? You guys, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, you know, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, right? To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. That's what Paul says, right? I thought that was prayer, and I think it is, but I think it's more than that. I thought that in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he was talking about, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I thought, okay, man, we don't wage war in the flesh. We're not going to be fighting somebody, right? But it's a different kind of war. It's when we pray, when we go to seek God. But I realized that it was something more. You guys, because in that chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I just want you to read, I want to read one verse to you. Verse 1, it says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Right there. You guys, every time you react in love, every time you respond to love, you're pulling down strongholds over that person. Do you hear me? Did you get that? You guys, Paul came in the meekness of Christ. I mean, he had a lot to boast about, right? But he came in the meekness of Christ. He came in the gentleness of Christ as a servant. And every time he did, he was waging war. He was pulling down strongholds. Do you guys hear me? So that means when we extend grace to those who we think don't deserve grace, right? Some of those people who we think are unlovable, what are we doing? We're pulling down strongholds. We're casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When we love them and extend His grace and extend His love to them, suddenly they're going to get it. Do you hear what I'm saying? That salvation is going to come to your home if you are able to love. If you are able to extend grace the way He's extended grace to you, right? You guys, Philippians 2, back to chapter 2. Verse 13, after Paul declares, you know, all this about Christ, he says this. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Everyone just take a deep breath with me. Man, that's good news right there. Did you hear that? It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. What does that mean? That means we don't have to do it. You guys, a lot of the times religion is us trying to do it, right? Us trying to do it in our own strength. And then we just prove, and even preachers asking us and demanding things of us that we can't possibly do in our own strength. Thank God for a pastor who tells us the truth and says, hey, you can't do it. Apart from Christ, you can't. Jesus said that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Paul said that. Apart from you, there is no good thing inside me. They had revelation of who God was and who they were. When Wesley preached, John Wesley, when he preached, man, sometimes there would be thousands of people on the ground weeping after he preached. And he wasn't an amazing preacher. But what he did, he would exalt the righteousness of God. He would exalt the kindness of God. He would exalt the holiness of God. And then he would reveal the wicked hearts of man. Today, how many of us, you know what I mean, hear some of that good stuff about God, but then hear about all this other good stuff about us? You guys, we are nothing. Apart from Him, there is nothing good inside of us. You could turn on the news and you could see what's in mankind. Let's stop pointing the finger at them. Let's look at ourselves. Let's look in the mirror. Hello. You guys, we can see how we react when we get snowed in and we got to stay with our family and it's kind of tight for a couple of days. And you know what I mean? Some of the reactions and some of the things, you get kind of get short, right? You get bumped the wrong way. Man. You guys, I want to read this to you. Mistreatment exposes the places of our fallenness. It places pressures on the human heart that exposes the fault lines under the surface. Every single one of you have fault lines underneath your surface. That if you get pushed the right way, man, earthquake's coming. Something's going to happen, right? You guys, we have these fault lines under our surface, and it's mistreatment that is going to expose these things. It touches places of our pride that otherwise are unnoticed in our controlled environments. There's a difference between being undisturbed and holy. Did you hear me? A lot of us control our environments in such a way that, you know, I mean, everything's all right. If someone starts talking bad about you, peace. If it kind of gets on you and you're uncomfortable, I'm out of here. But suddenly, when you're in an environment where you can't control anymore, some of these things are coming out. You hear what I'm saying? Man, how many of y'all feel what I'm saying? This is some hard stuff. I don't want to be bringing you down. I want to be encouraging you. And this verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 ought to be that very verse that encourages you. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do you guys know what the moon is made out of? What's that? Cheese? What are you watching? Do you realize that the moon is nothing but a ball of dirt? Why does it shine the way that it does? Because it gets in alignment with the sun. Did you get it? Do you realize that from dust we came until dust we will go? Look at your neighbor and say, you little dirt ball. You guys, from dust we came and from dust we will go. In us there is nothing, there is no good thing apart from Christ. We are a dirt ball, right? We are some dirt balls. But when this ball of dirt gets in line with this right here, when this ball of dirt gets in line with the sun, you better believe that I'm going to be shining. You guys, we have to recognize our fallenness. We have to recognize it. And we can't take pride in ourselves. A lot of us come to Christ because of our own accomplishments. Man, I could come to you confidently because of what I did, right? Man. Let's read later in Philippians chapter 3. See, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, man, Paul is talking about Jesus Christ. He says, who put no confidence in the flesh. You know, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. You know what I'm saying? I've done some things. And he goes on, he kind of shares that list, right? How many of y'all have a list of things that you've done that you feel proud of, that you've accomplished? And then what does he say next? He says, those very things I consider dung. I consider manure. You guys, if we come to Christ on the basis of our confidence, of our own accomplishments, of our own works, man, we are belittling the work of Christ. We are belittling what he did on the cross. But if we come to him recognizing, God, there's nothing that's good in me, and I need you. You guys, when we come to him like Isaiah and we say, I am undone, I am unclean, but here I am, have mercy on me, send me, I will go. You guys, that's when God is going to be glorified. That's when Christ is going to be glorified. When we see him and we see his holiness and we see us and we see some of that dirt that's all up on us and we say, God, apart from you, there's no good thing in me. But with you, I can do all things, right? You guys, there's in the Titanic, there were 20 lifeboats. So when it crashed, there was definitely room for everyone to get in those lifeboats. But out of those 20, maybe just a handful, 3 or 4 were full. That means most of them were pretty much empty. They had maybe, they could fit around 50 people and some 40, some 60, because there was a couple different kinds. But anyways, most of them had roughly 20 people on them. There was only one lifeboat that went back to go pick up some more souls because of these people's comfort, maybe even because of their own fear. They wanted to make sure that they were going to be all right. Only one lifeboat went back to go get some more people, and they ended up saving some lives. You guys, let's be that lifeboat. Let's deny ourselves of some of our comforts that we feel entitled to, and let us go and let us see who can we help, right? Who can we go to? Who can we aid? Who can we assist? You guys, as I encourage you to go and check out Revelation 4 and 5 this week, just chew on it, meditate on it. Ask God, what did the angels see? Show me more. Because when we behold God, we become like Him. You guys want to have more passion for Jesus? Study His passion for you. You want to have more love for Jesus? Study His love for you. You guys, if you want to become more like Jesus, behold Jesus. Gaze at Him. Look at His beauty. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Isaiah chapter 6, He saw Him. And then, man, suddenly He repented and he changed and He said, God, have mercy on me. Some other verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. This is talking about the appearing of Christ. Man, all will marvel. You guys, when Christ returns, all are going to marvel. As you read in Philippians chapter 2, it said this, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. You guys, people won't be able to help it. That once they see God, once they see Jesus Christ, once it's realized in their hearts, man, they're going to be changed. They're going to bow their knee and they're going to confess, Jesus, You are Lord. It's going to happen. But the sad news is that they're going to be condemned to hell unless they know Him, unless they confess Him as Lord now. Do you hear me? You guys, when Christ returns, when Christ is seen, people marvel. Lives are changed. All will see, all will bow, and all will confess. What if we saw Him right now? What if we saw Him today? What if we saw Him this week? What if we chose to shut off our TV? What if we chose to gaze upon His beauty? What if we opened up to Revelation 4 and 5 and said, God, what do the angels see? Show me that. I want to see more. I want to see You so that my life may be changed. You guys, if you continue to try in your own power, man, you're going to fail miserably. But if we are real, remember what I felt the Lord asking me to share this morning. Four things. He said, John, I want them to know that I love them. John, I want them to know that I died for them. I want them to know that I don't want religion. I want relationship. And I want them to know that I don't want the church faces. I don't want the little mask that they put on. He says, I want them. In their entirety, I want them to be real. He knows us. He loves us. In Matthew 26, He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Man, He knew that we had the heart to say, yeah, God, I love You. I want to do this. My flesh is weak. He knew that. In John chapter 21, when Peter is before Him and being restored, Jesus asks, do You love Me? Peter says, yeah, I love You. And feed My sheep. Do You love Me? Yeah, I love You. Then feed My sheep. Do You love Me? And this third time He says something different. He said, God, You know all things. You know that I love You. You guys, if you love God this morning, He knows that you love Him. And He also knows that your flesh is weak. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You guys, this morning, God is for you, not against you. He is for you. We need to come before Him and we need to be real. Daryl's going to come up here and he's going to play. And I want this to be a time where we search our hearts. You guys, if we have some fault lines that maybe we talked about or are being exposed, or we know areas that as soon as something happens, and then, man, we are going to react in a way that you know we shouldn't. Right now, I want you to search your heart and ask God, what are those places? And I want you to ask Him to give you help. Because when we become real before Him, when we humble ourselves before Him, He answers. He gives grace to the humble. He frustrates the proud. He opposes and resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He desires to give you grace this morning. You guys, I want to read you something. It says, don't be fooled by me. Don't be fooled by the face that I wear. Pretending is like a second nature for me. But don't be fooled. For my sake, please don't be fooled. I give the impression that I seem that I am all secure, that confidence is my name, that the water is calm and I'm in command, that I need one, that I need no one, sorry. But please don't believe me. My surface may seem smooth, but my surface is a mask. My ever-changing, ever-concealing mask. Who am I? You may wonder. I'm someone you know very well. I'm every man. I'm every woman. I'm right in front of you. In fact, I am you. You guys, to an extent, every one of us wears masks. Right now, the Holy Spirit is asking you to take down that mask. He's asking you to be real. He's asking you to come before the Father and let the Father search your heart. Because the beauty of Christ and what He did for us, it was out of love. And the same thing that He did for us, He wants us to do for others. So right now, I ask you guys to just to bow your heads right now with me and to close your eyes. And if you need to come up here, come up here. This altar is open. If you need to kneel down right near now where you're sitting, kneel down. Whatever you need to do, find a place to meet with God, that there be no distractions. And I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. We're just going to take a moment. We're just going to be quiet. Let's respond to the Holy Spirit this morning. Ooh. You guys, Christ doesn't ask us to do what He did not do. Do you hear me? He's our example. He went to the cross. He did it for us. He taught us how to love. He taught us how to forgive. He taught us how to serve. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life for a ransom of many. I just encourage you guys to go and to love and to serve those around you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. When we do that, you guys, Christ is glorified. He's honored. And recognize that we can't do it in our own strength. We just need to continue to be real and acknowledge that we can't do it in our own strength. We just ask Him. We ask Him. He loves to give good gifts to His children. He loves to give grace. He loves to help us in our weakness. Indeed, Christ is made strong. It's made perfect. His grace is made perfect in our weakness. So little dirt balls, just get in line with the sun and just shine. Let Christ shine in you this week. Fred, I think, is going to come out here and close us. And then we have that Mexico mission meeting after service.
Is this on?
As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please. And it will prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. And then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace. That word we got today is going to prosper. And if you get a hold of it, you will walk in joy and you will walk in peace. Aren't you thankful that this young man is leading our young people? Next week is the beginning of our two services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. So, we'll be here. Isn't this great to look forward to, though? Isn't this awesome to see what's going to happen here? I'm excited. I am excited. Well, you all have a blessed week and take this word that you received from the Lord through John and walk in joy and peace. Amen?
Amen. Amen.